This is News Talk Tonight with Jim Richards on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Happy long weekend to most of you, and I guess our thanks to all of the people who have to work over the weekend. It keeps everything running in our communities. It is time right now to meet our friend. His name is Craig Baird, and you can check out all of his work on his website. And also, don't forget to follow him on X and or Twitter, at Craig Baird. Craig, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Canada History X, and he spells it E-H-X. All right, let's go back to, boy, I didn't know it was 1975. I know to a lot of people that is a long time ago, but it's fairly recent. I thought the beaver predated that, but that's when it became our official symbol.
It did, yeah. So, I mean, for centuries, the beaver was a symbol of Canada. I mean, you had companies like the Hudson's Bay Company that used it in their flags and the crest, but it was also featured on our first stamp. And while it was recognized as an important symbol of Canada, it was not an official symbol. But that changed on March 24th, 1975, when Progressive Conservative MP Sean O'Sullivan put forward a vote in Parliament, which passed and was given royal assent, which made the beaver an official symbol of Canada.
Was it controversial, or did everybody go along with it?
Oh, no, it was unanimous. Everybody was fine with it. It was one of those things that was guaranteed to pass.
So that is, and we have the moose as well, but it's not in a, the moose does not hold an official capacity. It's just the beaver.
Yeah, just the beaver. I mean, we have things like the Canada goose and the polar bear and the moose that we all consider Canadian animals, but yep. The beaver is definitely the main one.
That's why I thought it would have been, like, if it came up now, I think people would debate. Like, I would think the polar bear would be more popular than the moose, than the Canada goose, and than the beaver, no?
Oh, absolutely. I think there'd be a lot more discussion about it now than there was 50 years ago.
Okay, 50 years ago. Oh, wow. All right, 1880. A lot of things within blocks of where I am are named after this man, a father of Confederation, shot by a disgruntled employee. Tell us about George Brown.
Yeah, George Brown was born in 1818, and like you said, he was a father of Confederation, and he was the founder and editor of the Toronto Globe and a founding member of the Liberal Party of Canada, and he actually led the party in 1867, and he was appointed to the Senate in 1874, but in 1880, the Globe was suffering financially, and there were layoffs, and on March 25th, 1880, former Globe employee George Bennett burst into Brown's office, and in an argument, he shot Brown in the leg, and that wound became infected, and Brown lingered for weeks, but he died on May 9th, 1880, while Bennett was put to death.
Oh, he was put to death?
Oh, yeah, he was hanged.
Yeah, this is 1880. Clearly, they didn't know. Yeah, wow, that's great. Well, it's not great. It's you understand what I'm saying.
Yes.
All right. This week in Canadian history, let's go to 1931. Boston Bruins head coach Art Ross, what did he do?
Well, it was during the game two of the semifinals against the Montreal Canadiens, and Boston Bruins coach Art Ross pulled his goalie, Tiny Thompson, for a sixth attacker. And this was the first time an NHL coach had used this tactic in a game. And despite the innovation, the Bruins still lost 1-0, and Montreal later won the series and then the Stanley Cup. But it's now widespread in the NHL, but it began in 1931.
I wonder if when it happened, if people were like, oh, you can do that? Can you do that? You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I think he had read the rule book, which he probably helped write, and he did something that was completely within the rules, but a lot of people might have been a bit confused by it, wondering why the goalie was leaving his net and this other person was coming out there. But it didn't take long for it to become pretty popular among coaches.
Yep, certainly. Okay, the first time the goalie was pulled, March the 26th, 1931. And finally, the Blue Nose was launched this week in Canadian history in 1921.
Yeah, it was launched on March 26, 1921, and it's easily the most famous ship in Canadian history. Now, it was both a racing ship and fishing vessel, and it was under the command of Angus Walters. And each year after the fishing season was done, the Blue Nose took to races, and over 17 years, it never lost a single major race. And the last race it won was also the last race of the fishing schooners of the North Atlantic. And the Blue Nose was later put on our dime, and as for the ship itself, it became a working vessel in the Caribbean Sea, and was wrecked in 1946 and just left abandoned on a reef where it eventually broke apart and faded into the water. But we do have the Blue Nose 2, which was built in the 1960s.
Yes, the Blue Nose 2. I was going to say that when I was stationed in Halifax, I worked there, I wasn't in the Navy. When I was in Halifax, it was a big tourist attraction. I'm guessing it's still there. Is it still there?
Oh, yeah. I think it's an ambassador of tourism for the province now, and it is absolutely still there.
All right. What is your latest podcast that people can find?
My latest podcast is on the Quebec City landslide that happened in 1889 that killed about 40 people in Quebec City.
Okay. And that is on Canada EHX, correct?
It is, yeah. Canadian History X on all podcast platforms.
Canadian History X on all all podcast platforms. Craig, did you want to say something, Tony, to Craig?
Sure. I'm just wondering and curious how your greatest song in Canada.
Oh, that's so true. Oh, man. Hold on one second. Tony, that's a very good point. You've been doing brackets about best Canadian songs. Where are you right now in all of that?
Well, we're just going to finish round two on Wednesday next week. We've passed 1 million votes so far, and right now the number one leading song is The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, and then The Wheat Kings and These Eyes can round out the top three. So we still have a few weeks to go as we get through the rounds and things get eliminated. We should finish in May, so we're just over halfway done.
What are the biggest upsets? Because we're in the March Madness right now. I don't know if you follow the basketball, but I think sometimes when the number one seed loses, has there been songs that you were shocked lost?
There's not too many that I'm shocked lost, but definitely I'm shocked by something. Like, I do like this song, but I am surprised that Skinamarink is in the top 20 of all of the songs.
No way.
And it's beating The Band and New Orleans Is Sinking. So it's like,
well, that's
at one point it was the number one song.
You don't know if that's like a Bodie McBoatface thing or if it's just the generational thing of people knowing how important that might have been to their youth or how important it was to them to be Canadian and have that song for their kids.
Yeah, true enough. There's a lot of nostalgia playing into that.
I got to say, the Canadian song that I was playing last night, because I think it's highly underrated and maybe people remember them as being a bit of a joke. But what was the song? It's Lover Boy, but there's Working for the Weekend. That's not my Lover Boy song. Oh, yeah, The Kid Is Hot Tonight. That's my Lover Boy song. Oh, so hot.
There's a
tonight.
Few Lover Boy songs in there, but Turn Me Loose is
tomorrow?
The highest rated one.
Whereas one Toronto DJ used to say, when you take the L off of Lover Boy, it's over, boy. And that is, I think, where we are right now. For this segment, I mean, not for the band. Hopefully they'll continue on with great history. Okay, Canada History EHX is where you find all of the podcasts with any story, I'm guessing. And Craig, if you can't find a story done by Craig Baird there, I'm guessing he'll take requests if it's important enough to the fabric of this country. Craig, we always appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
Vote for your favorite Canadian song. Follow Craig on X @CraigBaird.